Listener warning, everything about this podcast is offensive and often stupid. Bar Dunk. It's the Vectrex episode of Guys, Gays, and Beer!
Yeah!
Okay, well, hey, wait. Before we get into the episode, it is October. And because it's October, we really need to do a Oktoberfest beer. Yeah, now, an admission. Oktoberfest beers are not necessarily my favorite beers. Actually, fall beers are not my favorite beers because they tend to put spice and pumpkin and crap in beers that does not belong in beers. Not in a true Oktoberfest, but Oktoberfests are not my favorite beers. I'm just going to put that out there. But we are going to try an Oktoberfest beer. This is, again, from a brewer we've tried before, Tyrannia out of Lake Mills, Wisconsin. Their beers, everything we've tested from them so far has gotten a thumbs up. So we'll have to see how this one does. This is their Oktoberfest, and I'm going to butcher the pronunciation. Gemulect beer.
Well, that's closer than I would have got.
Vegemite sandwich.
Okay, so shall we see if this is any good?
Yes.
Okay, an Oktoberfest for October.
All right.
Let me clear my palate with some more beer.
That's not bad. It's a good ale.
You know what? That's not bad.
That's not bad.
Really?
Yeah.
Touch sour on the finish.
A little flat.
Really? But it's an October.
God, at least you didn't put some kind of horrific spice in it.
It's not going to be a highly carbonated beer.
Well, I mean, I guess what I mean by that, it just doesn't have much, I don't know, bite or flavor. It's not as flavorful as I maybe would expect from an Oktoberfest.
What would you expect from an Oktoberfest?
Fucking Christmas.
Yeah, no, I don't want spice. I don't want.
No,
pumpkin.
I don't want.
I just want beer.
Maybe isn't the right word, but you know, just. I definitely want a full body, and this seems to be a little bit weak on flavor.
So, big bottom beers make the whole wide world go round,
right?
That's right.
Well, this does have a big bottom, but
it does
yes,
have a fat bottom.
Mm.
Okay, so I'm gonna give it a thumbs up. I kind of like it.
Yeah, I'm going with it. There's no spice.
Really?
No. Okay.
I wouldn't pick it up again.
All right.
That's
fair enough.
I definitely will.
I'll finish it. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to be,
We do not abuse alcohol here at all. All right. So, Rob, getting back down to, we are doing a Vectrex episode. Not our first Vectrex episode either. We have done this before, but this is our first Vectrex deep dive episode.
That's right. We're going to talk a lot about the Vectrex as opposed to just talking about how we love the Vectrex and want to have sex with it.
We're not going to talk about that too?
We might.
Please?
There is a slot.
Exactly.
There is a slot.
And it's just the right width.
The height might not make the clearance.
But the width is really good. Okay, so. All right, well, let's start talking about the Vectrex.
Let's talk about. Hey, wait, I did. Look.
You got show notes.
Yeah, but read the first thing I said. I did put it in there.
Okay, you did.
November 1st is International Play Your Vectrex Day. So I recommend on November 1st you play your Vectrex because it's a great system.
Which is, you know what? Good timing. I bet you see this episode, run to eBay, order one, you'll have it by the 1st.
Yeah, exactly.
If you do a buy it now.
Right, or check Craigslist. Find yourself somebody who's clearing out their Vectrex collection. Grab one because you're going to want one. After you watch this episode, you will want to have one for November 1st. Trust me.
And go quick, because as soon as this episode airs, the prices are going to go through the roof.
Happens every time we do an episode about the Vectrex.
That's absolutely not true, but still.
We can pretend.
Yeah, we'll pretend. Also, I want to point that I want to start something else. I believe that October 31st should be International Hump Your Vectrex Day.
Because you're going to play it the next day?
Damn straight.
Ooh.
I like that idea. It's got the slot.
Play early, play often.
All right, so the 31st is International Hump Your Vectrex Day because it's got that nice wide slot.
Yell J while you're doing it. All right.
There's so much to do on the 31st.
That's true.
Okay, so.
So, the Vectrex was created by Jay Smith of Western Technologies or Smith Engineering.
Dr. Naismith. Sorry.
No. JonBenet. Oh, no. Oh, no. Sorry. It started life as a mini arcade. Surprise, surprise. It looks like a mini arcade machine.
It does.
It was distributed first by General Consumer Electronics and then by Milton Bradley Company after its purchase of GCE.
Right, so the original company, GCE, actually did market this. They had it in Toys R Us at the time. They were doing all right with it. They weren't exactly burning down the house or anything like that or clearing them out, but they were selling them and they were doing pretty good. I do believe it didn't get to KB Toys until Milton Bradley had purchased it.
And it came with a free Axis and Allies with every purchase. So that was nice.
A free what?
Axis and Allies.
Really?
No.
You made that up. I almost fell for that.
What, I did too.
They might have done better had they done it.
Probably.
Been drinking. All right. They originally shopped it to Kenner. And they declined. Aww.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, let's see.
Probably bigger at that time than Milton Bradley.
Kenner? Yeah. Could have been.
They're pretty big.
Milton Bradley wasn't all that big at that time. Yeah, Milton Bradley was not all that big at that time. I mean, Milton Bradley was still the board game leaders, but that's really all Milton Bradley was. This was before they went out and bought everything.
That's before they had that awesome version of Battleship.
The electronic battleship? Yeah.
Yeah, that was sexy.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the drinking version.
That would have been good, too. That thing was awesome. All right, but that's not made by Milton Bradley. Right. That's made by Guys Games and Beer Industries.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That is commercially available now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I saw the ad for it the other day.
We're suing your asses.
Yeah, we made the better version first.
Yeah, we're going to sue for the game that was already invented that we copied.
That we could get sued. Then we'll get sued. Oh,
All right.
So the original design had a 5-inch screen. Now, there are various stories about how it got this screen. Now, all stories center around the idea that the guys over at Smith Engineering got a bunch of screens.
Yeah.
5-inch screens. The question is, where did they get it from? Now, one story I've heard, and you heard a different story. This is interesting.
Right.
The story I heard is that it was military surplus from HUDs.
Right. In all honesty, if you look at the design of this, and it being a vector graphics, it makes perfect sense that it was the other story, which is that this they got a whole bunch of a medical device surplus. So basically, back in the 80s, heart monitors used vector graphic tubes. Yep. And used a CRT tube. So this would have been very common. Now, it wouldn't have been in this orientation. It would have been horizontal in a heart monitor.
The screen they used, though.
Right, in the 5-inch. But they probably flipped it up. They probably flipped the 5-inch vertically instead of horizontally and used it. And that makes perfect sense. Because you, again, military stuff, not that you couldn't find it, but HUD displays were fairly new in the 80s. I don't think they would have been clearing out a lot of it. Medical device displays, they're always clearing out old medical device surplus, especially in the electronics industry. Old radar equipment is another one, but wrong shape, wrong type.
That was good, Tom. That was good.
But it would have been vector graphics, probably.
But anyway, yes. GCE felt it was way too small, and they replaced it with a 9-inch model, which is what you see here today. Now, U.S. release date, November 1982. I don't have an exact date on that.
I don't think there is an exact date on that. I haven't been able to find anything that the definitive. It just says November. It doesn't say
right.
This was the release date. But back then, they didn't have big rollouts of video game systems either. It was kind of like, okay, this is a second gen system, technically. I know it's around the time of first gen, but it's still technically a second gen system.
Refresh me. What was the launch of Atari?
70s. Yeah,
no, earlier than 79. Hold on, I gotta find out now because I've forgotten. I want to say 78. I it was earlier than 79.
So you're talking 4 off?
What's that? Yeah, four years later. Exactly it.
It's about a 4 years better system. I mean.
Well, yeah, most definitely. I mean,
No hate for the Atari. I love the Atari. No. I'm not like cutting on the Atari, but it's an impressive system.
Well, I don't. It's so hard to compare. Because it's functioning so differently.
I'm just saying, as far as the design of the games themselves, just the finish quality of them. Although we got problems
for the Atari, so nice. 5 years earlier.
Nice.
October of 77.
Released with
now,
Star Wars.
Now, see, and again, that's the other thing they talk about. Again, when you check out even the Atari, they don't give the exact release date. They just give the month. I mean, in these early systems, they weren't as big. This is the release date. No store can sell it before the release date. So things kind of trickle out in the market over the course of a month. No.
People really didn't know what they were.
Exactly. Bingo. Exactly it.
It's hard to create anticipation for something you don't know exists.
That's right.
Yeah. So basically, in general, you'll find they were fall released, and they were fall released, so they had them in the store for Christmas.
Right.
Makes sense.
October, November.
Advertised blitz.
Yeah, and then you'd have some advertising blitz, usually a magazine-based blitz, maybe a TV ad or two to get it started. Okay, I'm sorry.
No, no worries, man. That was
back
good.
Back to the deep dive.
In Japan, it was released under the name Bandai Vectrex. Oh, my God. Robinson Crusoe, it was named.
Yeah, Robinson Crusoe. He
can do this.
Where is this? The Japanese here.
You know what's weird?
Couscous.
I don't even feel like they had to change the name. Yeah, but that's already kind of...
You know, again.
June 1983.
So, almost not quite a year later.
Yeah, it's not going to last real long because it was discontinued in 1984. It was actually a casualty of Hasbro buying Milton Bradley back in 1983. They started phasing it out in 1983 when they bought out Milton Bradley.
Really?
Yeah.
That early? Okay.
That was an odd piece of information. I double-checked it, and it seems to check out.
Well,
so.
That makes sense.
Yeah. That was interesting. All right, so, here's something you can find out on Wikipedia that I'm going to expand, though. I'm going to give you
it
better.
Good, because it, Wikipedia does have good information.
Well, there's no good video game system without a scandal.
That's true. Vectrex is a vector-based gaming system. That's the part you'll hear on Wikipedia. But that means that instead of using images comprised of individual pixels, the graphics are based on vectors, also called paths. Those lead through locations called control points or nodes. I prefer the term nodes. I'm a network guy, though.
Oh, so you Turtle Graphics people will remember what
Yes. Hey, I was going to bring that up.
Turtle Graphics,
nice.
You know it.
Kind of like the Connect the Dot books that are made for kids, if you want to think of it that way. It's like a Connect the Dot. That's beautiful. I really like that. The vector in this case was black and white, so Vectrex games used overlays.
Okay, yes. So I'm going to show you real quick on this one. This is the original Vectrex. This was the overlay it came with, but that is the black and white screen. No colors. Vector graphics game of the time, and that includes ones at the arcades, did not have colors.
Star Wars had color. You can do color point to point, but
right.
I mean, God, how much would it cost?
Exactly. So most of the arcade games, vector games, did not have it. Even the arcade games.
Oh, yeah, like used, StarCastle.
Right, used overlays. Yeah. So they just did what was already being done at the arcades. By putting an overlay on it.
Well, that sure gives you an arcade feel.
Well, that's it. I mean, it does. It really does. If you were an 80s arcade player, yeah. Like us.
The sound system was 80s arcade quality, meaning it had superior sound to pretty much everybody else at the time. And that is true. It is.
Including,
got really good sound.
And maybe you have this.
What?
Vector
voice.
Yeah.
Yes.
There was a voice synthesis module for. But they weren't the only ones doing it at the time. And televisions already had their voice cartridge out. So there were other gaming systems at the time doing voice cartridges.
How many are saying Spike?
I don't know how many, but it really I don't think makes that big of a difference. No, they used what was the chip they used in here again? It really is
I got arcade, it down at the bottom.
Yeah, it really is an arcade game chip. They actually took a real arcade game audio system and put it on
real.
Their board, which was unheard of for the time. I mean, most of the other ones were doing horrible modulated beats best.
They were just crap that was laying around that they turned into game systems.
They wanted a real arcade experience to go with the vector graphics, to go with the really nice controller. You know, they wanted this to be an arcade experience. So sound was important to the developers.
That is true. Excellently put. The unit was designed to look like a mini arcade cabinet for those of you who are well, pretty much everybody that listens to the podcast and doesn't watch us on YouTube.
Right.
They look like a little miniature arcade cabinet.
Yeah.
So much so that some, and you probably have this further down, I'm going to jump the gun on it.
Don't worry.
A little early. Actually had coin-operated versions.
Yeah. I almost bought one, but God damn, it went for a lot.
Yeah, well, they are very expensive. They're very rare, but they're in a coin-op version of the Vectrex that was used in bars.
Set on a bar, and you could play an arcade game.
Yeah, but the best part was it was a timed game. So basically, you'd put your quarter in, it would reset the game, and then give you a timer on it. And when your time was out, the game shut back off again.
Dicks.
Yeah. But there are, so basically, it really was, if you open the guts of it, it was a slightly larger wood case with a coin mechanism and a timer in it. And then literally a commercial version of this stuck inside it.
And they kind of looked like crap.
They did look like crap. It was not a special version.
Electricity off and you turn it back on?
It just powered it down. They literally cycled the power on it.
That is ass.
The reset button.
There is the yeah. So,
I still kind of want one though.
All right,
you really could.
I'm pathetic.
You could build one.
Oh, all right, yeah, but it's not. It's not the same. It'll look cool though. I'd make one, but it wouldn't be as
okay,
cool.
Okay, so,
all right, Mindstorm was not just the packing game; it was built into the unit. The Asteroids Leg game contained a bug which wouldn't allow the player to get past level 13, even if they could. It was really super buggy. According to Vectrex lore, there's no real confirmation of this. Jay Smith ignored the bug because he thought no one would ever get past level 13 because nobody at Western Technologies could. And he kind of had a point, if that's true. Some of the lore says that his son actually was the first one to discover the bug, and he asked his dad, what's with this?
The problem with that logic is, you know, if you know there's a bug at 13 and it's going to be a problem, just make the game cycle and go faster.
You know, just so you can't beat level 13.
Right, you know, just make it so you can't do it, you know.
But that means, like, rewriting some code.
Yeah, exactly.
My God.
It took much code to rewrite.
Well, unless they're in production and they discovered it.
Yeah, which is what happens.
And you already have 6,000 units made.
Wait. Yeah, it's kind of hard, and you're only selling, well, forget it.
6,000.
Yeah, exactly. If you complain to the Vectrex folk, I hate spell correction. It always changes it to Vertex. Have you noticed
Vertex?
That? Yeah, Vertex. Ooh, if you complain to the Vectrex folk about Mindstorm's defect, they would send you a free copy of Mindstorm 2, which is Mindstorm, but bug fixed.
Awfully nice that you had to complain to get that.
Yeah.
Well, how would they get your address?
Well, here's the thing, too. Don't forget, again, it is built in, so you can't exactly replace it.
Except with another cartridge. Right.
So, they fixed it.
Yeah, yep. I mean, to an extent, yes.
The original price of the Vectrex was $199.
A steal for what you were getting, but here is the problem. It was also the downfall. Part of the downfall of the Vectrex. Why they didn't move a lot of units. So, price point of the day was about $100 for a video game system. $100 to $125 for the Atari 2600. A little cheaper for a lot of the clones. Same for about the Intellivision. So, yeah, actually, by that time, I think the Atari 2600 had fell well below that $100 price point. I think it was like 75-ish at that time.
Well, and you had Sears brands by then.
Exactly. The Telegames. You had all these knockoff ones. Not knockoff. Licensed versions of the Atari out there.
There was no license, so.
Right.
Yeah,
that's right.
I guess you could call it.
Yeah. So the problem was, if you were buying a video game system, yeah, this was a nicer system in so many ways, but it was pricey for the time.
As we pointed out, it was chosen 2-1.
Yeah.
Yes.
Purchased 2-1.
Yes. Unfortunately. Unfortunately true. Price after the crash, $50. Which is really sad because I passed on one at Sears.
I think we all did.
$50. It makes me sick.
I think we all regret that.
They nailed right on the crash, didn't they?
Yeah. They did, and so did KB, Toys R Us. Toys R Us had a bunch of these, and they were clearing them out for $50 too. And the problem was at the time, the cartridges weren't a little harder to get at that point. So maybe you'd be able to get the system, but KB Toys or Toys R Us would only have a couple of cartridges for it. So you'd buy a game and then have to not necessarily be able to find the cartridges at that point because they weren't making them anymore. So that's an issue.
Rob, huh? Do you have a release count?
I do. There were 31.
Okay, so now
officially released games.
Thirty-one
officially.
Right. I don't think this was ever
release date.
I doubt very much they have a release date.
Release
date.
No, there isn't.
This goes back down to that time. It's very hard to get released.
What's even funnier is it's hard to even get release dates on individual cartridges because I did try to calculate it based on release year. Because you figure November, it would have been pretty easy to put it in the release window if it was made in 1982. Right. Pretty easy to do. Okay. But unfortunately, they don't have release dates for everything, which is really odd.
Because, I mean, there weren't very many games released for it, but still, even so.
So I'm going to say 31!
All of them couldn't have been released in the same time.
No, they weren't. I mean, I guarantee a lot of these came out afterwards.
Yes.
Now, when I say afterwards, it's a very short window, though. We're talking a couple of years.
Yeah, right. And probably none were released in the last year of production because they were just...
Yeah, they were done.
They were done.
And they knew they were done.
Right. Milton Bradley lost $32 million on the Vectrex.
Holy crap.
The Vertex. Throughout its lifespan.
Money.
That is amazing that they lost that much on that.
I think it's pretty impressive. Way to go down a damn hole.
Yeah, really. It must have.
Just keep going. Shovel more money on it. Shovel more money.
That's a great idea. I promise. Vectrex games are oftenly mistakenly described as being part of the public domain. They are not. However, you are free to copy them. They did say that it's okay to copy them. Go ahead.
The author still... The author...
Don't make money on it.
Right. That is a stipulation. Now,
you can break even. They even said... They were very specific about it. You can break even. If you make a little bit of money, no big deal. Just don't be...
So the Vectrex community is a very interesting community. It's a very...
Fairly vibrant.
Yeah, and a fairly diehard community to boot. So the thing is, though, that GCE, who actually held the property on all the games, even when Milton Bradley held it, evidently, said, hey...
I thought they sold it.
Including the rights to the games?
Dropped back.
Oh, when Milton Bradley failed on it? Oh, okay, well, that's possible. That makes sense. And then what happened is GCE, eventually, as the community started picking up, going, yes, you can reproduce our games... We don't care. We still hold the copyright on them.
Yes.
So they're copyrighted games, but feel free to use the copyright, but you cannot make money on the copyright.
Which 20-somethings, is a very common occurrence, contrary to what you were taught in school by those ridiculous videos sent out by the Business Software Alliance and everybody else. ROMs in themselves are not illegal. Mm-hmm. It just depends on the licensing. I get so sick of saying it.
Sometimes they're available to use and sometimes they're not. I don't really care about it. You can't turn around and start licensing my stuff as yours,
but you want to
copy it and play it? I don't. That's fine, whatever.
There are so many different types of licenses on that, and that's a show in and of itself.
It's not a strict public domain.
You could do a year's worth of shows on licensing.
Right. That you definitely could.
No, public domain. You can do anything you want.
Right, that's public domain.
You can dry hump it.
And half.
Yep. Okay,
but
so...
it prefers lube.
It does. list of firsts. It's the first and only vector-based gaming system. Oh, I'm not doing English well today.
All right. So vector-based gaming systems, again, for those of you who are 80s arcade kids, really were the end-all to be-all.
I gotta tell you, I think... As I've watched the entire community, looked at every game that's out there, and that, I think that was both a strength and a drawback to its because I think it does shooting games really well, like a Battlezone,
right?
Or, you know, or Mindstorm or something like that. It has a real trouble with any kind of platformy type.
Most definitely. This is pre-platform game.
They did make a platform.
Yeah, Spike.
Well, technically, it was
Spike.
Pre-platform.
Spike is a platform
because
game.
By that time, we've already gotten Jungle Hunt. And
that's
we've
true.
Already gotten Pitfall.
Yeah,
which
is
essentially a platform
early
game.
Platform games. That's true. And so is Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it doesn't do that well.
No, it does not. But here's the thing. One of the very first video games, Space Wars, was a vector-based game. Early arcade games There was a real competition between vector-based games versus pixel-based games in the early days to see who was going to be the end-all, the be-all. Vector graphics were tended to be sharper, better, and
dead sexy.
And dead sexy.
I mean, it was always clear what was happening.
Right.
You know, pixel-based, sometimes it would get blurry and you weren't really... Or the sprites would start, like, slowing down or, you know, there was all kinds of
issues.
Vectrex is pretty badass for handling a lot of things on screen.
Yeah, but that's because vector graphics allow itself well for multiple images on the screen without slowing anything down because you're handling...
You're only calculating points.
Exactly. You don't care about the connection at all. You only care about the two endpoints. And you can move those two endpoints any way you want.
But then again, I mean, then you and that's where I think
its strength was
in early gaming was that it was so much crisper than a lot of the other things. But as things sort of moved and got, as bit count was able to go up, as resolution started going up, it basically started to lose because you couldn't get scaling and shading.
Also, processor power. Takes less processor power to do vector graphics.
The ability to generate sprites where everything was really easy to push around.
Once you started getting sprites in a game.
One of my favorite all-time games, and almost everyone will agree, Star Wars was awesome.
Uh-huh. I agree.
It was awesome. And it was a vector
Dead sexy.
It was, but that was the height of vector graphics.
I think so.
And really, that was the last big vector graphics game.
Oh, wait. No.
And that was colored.
So, you know... There was an Empire Strikes Back in vector graphics.
Yes, but...
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't very cool.
Star
Wars was great. When you did that trench flight, oh my God, it was... Yes!
Oh God, I love that
game. I know. Yeah, we all did. And the controller was dead perfect on that. Everything. I mean, that was the height of vector graphics.
Oh, anyway.
And it was. And that was... But you're saying it. That was the height.
That was it.
It wasn't going to get much
better. It's like anything else.
No.
Everything has its height.
Yeah.
All right, so it was also the first actual wearsome frigging 3D glasses system to do 3D. The Sega Master System tries to claim this all the time. No, you are not. No, that is not an insult on the Master System. I love the Master System. Don't get me wrong, I call it the masturbation system for a reason, but it's just not the first.
I do like the 3D game that is for the Master System.
The Master System had a lot of great 3D games. And here's the thing. The Master System...
That's had it, too.
Yeah. The Master System was the first one that used LCD shutter glasses for 3D. Yes. So...
Technical.
So this, now we're going to get technical. Now that you bought up the 3D imager. Now, this is not an original 3D imager. This is a reproduction made by Madtronics out of France.
It's a modified welding helmet.
No, I added the welding helmet part. No, actually, he did... No, he did this. I added this part. So... He actually managed to reproduce the original version. I've modified it a little bit to make it a little bit more substantial looking.
I want you folks to know that this thing is a freaking death trap. I've worn this on several occasions.
So effectively, what the Vectrex 3D imager was, and this was the cool part, not only did it give you three dimensions, it added color. And the way they did that was they had this kind of like disc, CD disc that you inserted into your 3D imager.
The color wheel.
You're murdering me, man.
I know. And it spins, in front of your face. Now, it has two cool effects. One, it gives you color and three dimensions, but it also kept you cool as we were playing the game.
Which is really nice.
That breeze coming off, and it's like,
you know, the Oculus could really use that feature. Yeah.
So it actually, this Madtronics does a reproduction. And that is madtronics.com. If you want to buy one, I don't know if you...
And that's Matt.
I don't know... Mad.
Sorry. Mad. Oh my God! I totally bogged that.
So
I looked at it and then said the wrong thing.
If he's still making them right now, but he will if he's not.
Essentially, a modified CD player. I mean, it runs at the same like.
He's using a CD motor.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got his own little controller circuit for it, but it is basically a CD motor, CD drive motor. Yes. Nice job. Nice reproduction. Now, the reason I have a reproduction, not the real one, because the real ones go for ungodly sums of money.
Yeah, they do.
And they're old, so they might break.
Right, whereas this one will hopefully last me a while.
That's true.
Motors burn out.
Yeah.
There was another first that I think everybody wanted to mention. I didn't put it in my notes. I'm trying to remember what it was.
Well, are you done with your notes?
No. I've got processor notes. But I'm just trying to think what the other thing was.
I was
aspects. We went into the weeds here a lot. Because
I was really hoping
it was like most buttons or something like that. I care.
Okay, well, the first four button controller.
I'm not 100% sure of that.
I'm betting it is.
It might be though.
I want not the most buttons because
it came out after no, it I mean, came out before the NES, like so
the Coleco or television.
Yeah, they had a million buttons, right?
They had a million buttons.
Yeah, but they weren't really usable.
Yeah,
they were just sitting on the face.
Just because they weren't usable.
That being said, it does use an analog stick,
which is dead sexy, and it's self-centered, which is not the norm for the time.
Nope.
Well, it's somewhat self-centered.
Yeah,
in most cases nowadays.
Yeah, depends
how good the sprint still are. Sometimes that stuff bleeds so far together because, like, I remember one you would work with, like an Apple would have an analog stick.
Yeah,
you know. So, and it was
put two mics up to his face.
Had an adjustment, so if it was off, you could kind of push it one way or the other. But
that being said, that was a computer, not a video game system.
Right.
All right, one other thing. The Vectrex Buzz, which was not present later, but earlier ones you can hear just buzzing the hell away. The Vectrex Buzz was caused by a ground loop. You want to, yeah.
Do you have enough?
You want to thank...
I think you've got enough buzz now, all right?
You want to thank those guys at Underwriters Laboratories for saying that there wasn't sufficient ground. So what they did is they added a second ground strap, caused a feedback loop. In many cases, you can remove the second strap. However, we have conducted the surgery, and I've heard this in other places. I have actually done it to one of yours, and it did not get rid of the buzz. It still buzzed like a
No, it increased it, actually. It's an F you.
And then it electrocuted him.
Buzz more.
No, you were buzzed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But then it electrocuted him. So that wasn't a very good idea. No, I'm just kidding about that, folks. That didn't really happen. Well, no, I mean, I really did ground line, but
yeah, you did.
It didn't happen. It didn't help. It did not help.
No,
I don't even think it did a bit.
But they're caused by different reasons.
Right.
I mean, the extra ground loop that causes a buzz.
Was the original problem.
Right. Okay. Later models have other things.
And old electronics buzz sometimes.
Speaking of other things
that dry out.
Yeah, that commonly go wrong with these, the volume control knob. I actually see two originals and one false. If you get one with a bad control knob, do not despair, because I'm going to tell you what. You go to Radio Shack and you can pick up this lovely knob like this one has. It looks better than the original anyway.
Yeah,
I really do like...
Yeah, the Radio Shack fix is a good fix for it. It's a common Radio Shack part. It looks beautiful in there.
Yeah. Ooh, is this where we're going to get to tricking your Vectrex out?
I think we're going to take a break after I do the specs, and then we're going to talk about tricking your Vectrex and all the cool crap that you've got. I mean, Larry's just crazy with this.
Oh, my God, yes.
All right, so specs. It's a Motorola 68809. What? I love these variants.
Motorola did a bitch load of variants on their processors.
Running at 1.5 megahertz.
Wow, 1.5 megahertz, people.
Yep, that's some speed. RAM, 2K total.
2K?
Yep, they're 4-bit. 4-bit.
At least they're a bit system. 4-bit,
4-bit addressing on
this. As opposed to a byte system.
Yep, 2K. 4 bits apiece. That's just crazy, dude. It's got 8K in its ROM. It's got up to 32K on its cartridges. And it uses the General Instruments. How often do you hear that anymore? AY38912 sound chip. Also, by the way, some of the chip logic, I think it was the bus control to the controller, I think, was actually done on MOS Technologies. I missed that.
But I think you're right. I think it was MOS Technologies who did the...
MOS Technologies did it. I can't remember what the actual control was for it. Sorry, I didn't put that in the notes because I was drunk. What?
Perfect reason.
All right, so I think we're...
Wait, hold on.
Oh, I feel it
almost... This is almost a PSA.
Okay, PSA.
I gotta explain something. For those that are not watching the video, you should stop whatever you're doing right now, go to the video, and rewatch everything you just listened to, and then get to this part.
Unless you're on the highway, please don't do
that.
Yeah,
don't do that. Yeah. If you're driving, do not do that.
We have few enough listeners. We don't want you dead.
I think I should explain my attire.
Okay. But yeah, no. We do need to explain this.
For
those of you who don't know, Bar Dunk is going to have a hookah lounge upstairs. Yeah. And we're working on the hookah lounge. But that is not why Larry is wearing
right, the Pirates. Right. It turns out that was just like a great side effect. Like, oh yeah, let's just wear this in the hookah lounge. But so we recently went to Epcot, and those anxiously awaiting our upcoming special on Disney Quest.
Point at me, Larry. Point at me, Larry. All right. Yeah, I gotta edit. Okay, I have to edit it.
I never want to hear bitching about how.
Oh no! No, no, never, ever, 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 ever.
So we all went there. So one of the but we went to Epcot also, and I got really drunk. I know nobody thinks that's believable.
No.
I got really drunk.
You never.
Same and so, Larry.
This seemed like a great idea
at the time.
No, and it's a delightful shirt in many ways.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. It looks terribly comfortable.
It is.
If you were going to an Indian wedding,
you know, that's just it. I don't even know how to appropriate.
I'm just waiting for a Bollywood song to come on and you to kick in a dance. Okay, there you go. See, if we just had a Bollywood song right now. Speaking of which, I think I know what the insert needs to be for our break. The Larry Bollywood musical.
Oh, not Dollywood.
So, no, not Dollywood.
If you get drunk in Epcot, you may come home with a very expensive Moroccan shirt.
Yeah, avoid the Moroccan section, okay? I'm just saying right now, avoid the Moroccan section.
And we'll be right back with Larry's collection. My God, he's got a lot. We'll tell you in a minute.
Yeah.
I don't want to blow it early. Also, best picks for the Vectrex, which is actually a great system and has a lot of great stuff for it. Be right back, folks. I'm Retro Rob, and you're watching the Gutter Geeks at Guys, Games, and Beer. Where's my damn gin?
Shady's back.
Welcome back to Guys, Games, and Gremlins. We're talking about Gremlins.
I know. All right, so, Rob.
We're back on the backtracks. We were talking about, Gremlins.
We took an extended break, and we're all fucked.
Pretty much. But we are actually going to start talking about Larry's Vectrex collection.
I do have a collection.
You have quite the collection, Larry.
Yes, it's true. Well, you know, it's hard to say what a collection is, but and one of the things that I'll talk about.
It's like porn.
We've kind of talked about the multi-card. And the nice thing about these multi-cards, so there's one that's really out there that's...
This is the most common of the multi-cards.
Yeah, probably the most common. It doesn't have everything that's available for the Vectrex. The Metrix.
Metrix. Oh, the Metrix.
I know. Told you. It was...
Three pieces of effing hate mail just from that one.
But the Vectrex. So, 72. And basically it has a bunch of extra games on it, but it has 100% of all the original games. Now, how many original games were there?
31.
There was 31. And all of them are on here. Now, which is a completely legal situation. You know, correct. It's not like you're pirating. Like, you know, this isn't putting ROMs on and stuff.
Now, this is where this one gets a little bit dicey, though. Okay? This one has some dicey issues.
They cover their cost.
I know, but this goes back down.
That is allowed.
It is allowed, again.
It is allowed.
But they haven't pulled off of certain sites for this.
Only by idiots who, learned
Vectrex
everything about...
Purists.
I wouldn't call them idiots. I would say hypersensitive.
Yes, hypersensitive Vectrex
people.
They don't
want to take the time to investigate the situation as it actually is.
Which is pretty much everybody right now in the ROM world, I'm afraid to say.
So,
they just think it must be pirate.
First thing, I'm going to totally recommend this particular board with 72.
Right, this one is made by a gentleman in the UK.
I do.
And he will sell it in the actual, in the case.
But none of us have bought it this way, right?
Correct.
Not one of us.
No, I bought mine with the board.
Yeah, I bought mine as a board. And what game is this almost always, Larry, that you got out to put this in here?
So if you need to, like, okay, so sometimes you just get the board and the sticker in delivery, right? You don't actually get the case, the plastic. So you got to put it in something. Obviously. And our personal recommendation is Blitz.
Has anybody put in anything other than Blitz?
Wait, so there's a reason why I normally use Blitz. One, it's the most common cartridge. Two, and the labels are always fucked up on your Blitz cartridge. So you're not going to ruin a perfectly good Blitz cartridge. Because the labels always look like this on the Blitz cartridge.
Well, exactly. So I've ruined two of them. So we'll get into what this is in a minute. But, well, you know, and basically it's $10 for the cartridge itself. Sometimes you can even get the overlay for not much more than that. It must have been the absolute most common game out there. So it's really good to convert into these multi-cards. Now, most of us have kept our original boards.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. You don't throw boards away. They're still valuable in their own way.
Yeah, I mean, so you could slip them back in and sell part of them out or whatever if you wanted to. I mean, it'll never actually happen.
Right.
But, you know.
You could.
So.
Someday we're going to be the cause of Blitz being like the most expensive cartridge. They were all destroyed to make multi-cards.
Yeah.
I've destroyed two. You've destroyed two.
Yeah.
You've destroyed two. Yeah. I'm just saying, there's six out of circulation.
But you know what's weird about that is? I still have a third intact.
You know what's weird about that? I still have a couple of them intact. Ah, Rob does too. All right, never mind.
So
we all kept original copies and our good ones we kept.
Well, I mean, because obviously, if you start scouring eBay and stuff like that, I mean, of course, you'll see the various single purchase offerings, but you'll also see many packages. So, okay. And Blitz is almost in every single package.
Because Blitz was a really sucky sports game for the system.
I completely disagree with you. It was a sucky single player football game because you would win approximately
all
1,000-0 every time.
I loved it. It was just like the arcade one, though. Yeah. Remember the arcade?
It was.
Yeah, it was beautiful. It was X's. It was O's. I loved it.
But as a two-player game, it's not terrible.
Okay. It's a two-player game.
All right. And it comes with a nice base
overlay.
Overlay.
Yeah.
Well, you can make your whole screen green, and all right, that's a nice green screen.
Yeah.
You know, it's
anything's your backyard.
Yeah.
Anything's your backyard. So anyway, so if you get the multi-cart. The advantage is then you can start focusing on what is the real collection of a Vectrex, and that's the artwork. The artwork is the collection. So now on my particular, and we'll get into the rest of this sort of artwork, tricking your guy out in a minute, but on this particular one I have Bedlam. It's actually a pretty interesting overlay. It doesn't even make sense until you play the game, and then you start to realize that, oh, this is kind of like a Tempest kind of thing, or except instead of being on the outside shooting down, you're on the inside shooting out. So there's a similarity here, and you probably can't pick it up on the camera, but you can see I have Bedlam on my multi cart playing in the background here. And you can see how they fit in. Although they don't fit exactly right.
Which drives me bat crap crazy.
But that's common of all of them.
Well, and there's a reason for that. Now, as much as the artwork...
Let's go back to the developer.
The artwork is beautiful. There was, in the company, some dissension between the artist
and the developer
who created the overlays... and the developer of the video games, and they weren't always on the same page, and sometimes they weren't always the same page purposefully, and then we, the consumer, get kind of shitty lineup.
Yeah.
No.
They were notorious for their fights back and forth between the guys developing the games and the artists developing the artwork for it.
So, that being said, though, so you got your multi-cart, and you have at least one overlay. But you can focus in on getting all the overlays, which is what I've done. I have gotten every single overlay.
Larry
that
literally
it was
has
available.
Okay, so I have how many overlays are there?
26.
Okay, 26
out of 31 games.
31 games. Why is that?
Yeah, why is that, Larry?
Tom knows.
The 3D imager. And some of the games, the light pen games, also don't use an overlay.
Right. So not every game had an overlay.
Right.
And some of the games use the 3D imager, so they didn't have an overlay either because it basically gave the effect of an overlay without actually having an overlay.
By nearly chopping your nose off. Yes.
Right. So I had it. By the way, I think it really works out nice that You have a multi-cart, so that's one thing sitting by your Vectrex. So you have your Vectrex sitting in your bar, which is what I normally do. And then you just have this bad boy, this binder sitting next to it with all the overlay.
We got to make some art for that.
You can just pop them in and out. So when some of them are really complex. I'm going to need two hands. Some of them are really complex. The Bedlam is pretty complex.
Armor Attack
is actually quite complex. You can see how, there's different colors there. There's a lot of shading and stuff with it.
He says there's a lot of colors and shading.
Yeah, it's true. I know. All right. But then there is other ones available, like we already talked about, the Blitz, that's not great.
Not from complexity. Which one would you say is artistically the best overlay? Artistically.
I actually like Bedlam. I think it's a neat overlay. I think it has, it's got kind of that pow factor.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting, okay.
And it actually fits the game really well. And it actually does a decent job of amplifying the game.
Right. It's not just straight, oh gosh, this is one color band here, this is another color band here, which a lot of them are.
Right.
Paint me like your French girls.
Although, I gotta tell you, you just showed me one that is really quite good.
Which one?
And can work in a few different games and actually feel Blitz? Pretty good. No. Which one?
Which one?
The Cosmic Chasm.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Is also quite beautiful. As far as, blocking out a scene and then having some, different kinds of designs and sort of developing an element of you are here. And I've even used this one as my Minesweeper. And it pretty much works. I mean, there are some points where it doesn't, but you clearly feel like you're in space and you're someplace. Although space, someone's gonna go, hey, space isn't red. Yeah, okay, fine. If you want,
Star Trek it is. So
that's right. But Cosmic Chasm it is.
But it just feels spacey. It's called Cosmic Chasm and stuff, right. And it's pretty to look at. It's also a nice one if you purchase the Yars game and you don't have the Yars overlay.
Yassi, you mean?
No, Yars.
Really nice Yars. For it too. Yeah. And you don't lose your ship.
Right. So in Yars there. Is so not one of the original 31 games.
It is not.
It's an aftermarket game.
But some of these are really impressive as far as trying to build an environment. This is another one that actually fits really well.
This was
the
actually
game.
A release game.
Yeah, this was a release game.
It's Fortress of Narzad. Did I pronounce it?
Narzad.
And basically, you have something of a mountain, and once you actually fire up the game, you're basically working your way through a maze up towards the top of the mountain, and you're fighting like tanks and things like that. It's actually pretty good overlay, and it actually does. You know when I judge an overlay, it's about whether or not it actually amplifies the game.
Right.
And I feel like this one does.
It does. That one actually adds to the game. But then again, so does the ripoff one, and so does the Star Castle one. I feel both of those add to the game.
And when that's a whole thing. I mean, there are original Vectrex overlays out there. But there are overlays out there that are made for homebrew games that were made. And we've talked about it a couple times.
Yassi
is one where an overlay was created for a game that was created as a homebrew. Other one out there, and one that I don't have that I really want, is Frogger. Frogger is both a good game and a good overlay was created for it.
For those who don't know what Yassi is, so I'm going to show you.
Let's just go. Yet another Space Invaders.
Thank you, yes. Exactly. Yassi is yet another Space Invaders. It really is a perfect version of Space Invaders for your Vectrex. So, this particular one, the game was developed, I forget who developed the game, but there's a cartridge available for that, and right now, Pack Rat Games I think, is licensed to make them. But this is by Alex Herbert.
It also has Protector, which is awesome.
I actually got this from ClassicGameCreations.com originally. They don't make it anymore. I think Pack Rat Games has got the licensing. He's doing these now. The wrap was from some place, I think, in Italy. And the overlay is from some place in France. The wrap is actually from VectorWraps.com. And I think that's an Italian company who does that. And then I forget who did the...
So you have a wrap that's specific to the game, and then an overlay that's specific to the game. And then it is on...
On the Aussie cartridge.
On the Aussie cartridge. But nobody made those together.
No. All three were made by different groups before the... And this goes back down to how vibrant the community is. But before we go any further, I just distracted this. I do want to point out, Larry's been showing his classic collection. Now, Larry had a brilliant idea. So if you are a Vectrex collector, this is a great way to store your overlays. Basically, it's just page protector stuck in a three-ring binder, and so I put my envelopes and my original overlays right in there. So I have all my original envelopes and all my original... I don't put my overlays back in the original envelopes. The envelopes are getting old.
Yeah, I don't either.
And a lot of them are not in great shape. So I keep the envelope with it, but I don't put them back in the original envelopes anymore.
So if you're an aspiring collector of overlays, this is going to be the bane of your collection. Yes, it's an almost nothing overlay. There's almost
solid blue.
It's blue with a little bit of verbiage on the bottom. And that's about it.
Actually, something worse than the Mindstorm.
Well, you know what?
But that works.
The Mindstorm one is actually slightly better. And this one would give you blue. It would work for Mindstorm if you buy it. It would work for that game, and it's some of the other. Basically, any space game works as blue. You know, and it pretty much looks a little better than the black and white does. It looks a little. And I think the overlays do actually cut a little bit of the intenseness that a Vectrex or Vector Graphics gives you, that sort of piercing that, and the overlays actually cut that. So having a nice blue one, this one is tough to get. On average, it's around $150 to $200.
Now that's just for the overlay. That does not include the game.
Yeah.
That's just the overlay.
And as I discussed, it's not a great overlay. And the game that it belongs to ain't great either.
No, what do you mean?
Which is why it's rare.
The game sucked.
So yeah. He's drooling over that overlay.
Really. There are Vectrex enthusiasts watching this right now going, you motherfucker.
Yeah.
You
got one. You're right. So if you're going to start your collection, here's what you look for. A decent collection. This is how we got it. We got it through a collection. So someone who was selling everything off at some kind of price. You know, so maybe it was $400 for the whole kit and caboodle. So you get a Vectrex, and then you get, you know, and a controller, and then this happens to be in there, and you know that, you know, it's
1/4 the value of the whole kit.
Yeah. So, I mean, that is kind of how to get. I mean, it's tough to spend $200 on just this.
Chances are, even if you could want to spend $200, you won't find that by itself. Like I said, you're probably going to find it in a collection. You're not going to find it individually. If somebody's got it, if they're still collecting, they're not going to part with it. And chances are, they're not going to have two of them.
Now, out there, this is Pole Position. It's another rare one that's out there. You know, usually trends around between 75 and 100. At least in this case, the game's actually really good too.
Yeah.
And it's on your multi-cart, so you can combine it. So you can go ahead and play that with this. This is an original. Now, part of the reason I know it's original is because of the type of plastic it's on. There are reproductions available that were done very, very well.
You still have it because you're.
I got rid of it.
The reproduction was perfect. I mean, the plastic was just a...
But it wasn't going to break on you.
Right. The plastic was actually more flexible. So it was probably better in the long run.
But I think it had a slightly different color hue to it, which is where you can kind of tell...
It was older in sin.
You can kind of look at it. Maybe it faded because it was sort of aftermarket.
Right. These probably faded. The newer ones probably just hadn't faded.
Yeah, so maybe that's just it. But there are reproductions available. I know Pole Position is available as a reproduction. The Mindstorm overlay is can be found as a reproduction also. Now, sometimes people go ahead and try to do that themselves.
Right. So we have actually been working on doing reproductions. It is not as easy as it sounds. So even rarer than the Polar Express is something called Mr. Boston's Clean Sweep. I'm going to put a piece of white paper behind you so you can see it, because you're not going to see it. So we've almost got the reproduction process down, where the colors are translucent yet not blurring to what's behind it. You got to get it on the right kind of plastic. We're putting it on a very thin plastic to start with, and we'll put it on a thicker plastic once we get the printing down. But so this is the rarest of the rare games for the Vectrex. This is a collector's wet dream, basically. The company, Mr. Boston Liquor, mm-hmm. which was a brand in the 80s, actually branded a Vectrex game with their brand and then put them out in pubs.
I'd love to have been at the boardroom meeting. I just sort of paid big money.
No, think about that. Some executive thought this was a good idea, okay? Let's take a really obscure fucking system with a really, with a Pac-Man ripoff and brand it for our alcohol.
Somebody's kid had it.
Weird Pac-Man ripoff.
Thank you. Somebody's kid had it. Yeah. Some board member's kid had it and said, hey, let's do this, Dad. But
are you sure? I almost feel like maybe they saw it in the coin-operated one and went, let's get
that. And that's, but it was on the coin operated one. Yeah, this wasn't just on any Vectrex. This was on the coin operated one. So it was an idea for it. So it literally has the Mr. Boston logo on the bottom. It looks just like the Clean Sweep one. It's the exact same overlay with the Mr. Boston logo on it.
I'm really more of a Tipsy McSwagger guy.
So
Mr. Boston last year.
There are reproductions, and there are people producing it. Again, this goes back down to a very vibrant community. A lot of people doing a lot of development for the Vectrex. There are new games coming out now. Moon Patrol is in development.
Well, and yeah, the whole homebrew environment is incredible as far as, like, yeah, I mean, there's still games being produced. Vector, so basically Time Pilot, has recently come out with a game and an overlay. So it's not just the game that's being released. There is overlays that are being made for these new games. So it's actually kind of a wonderful, strange community when it comes to the Vectrex.
A very passionate community, though, too.
Yeah, very passionate. You know, Yeah, I mean, you know.
That's the reason to remember, October 31st.
That's right.
International Hump Your Vectrex Day.
That's right.
All right, so Larry.
I will show a couple more.
Show a couple more.
That are
really
that,
rarities in there.
Well, and sometimes they didn't try too hard. They didn't try too hard sometimes. And I will show you. I'm going to hand the mic off, and I will show you them not trying too hard.
All right, let's see not trying too hard. Oh, that one. You're right. They didn't try too hard on that one. All right. Wait. Okay. Wait. Okay. So look at what. Jeez.
Okay.
What's up? One of these things is not like the other.
Solar Quest. And now we have Space Wars. You. They are not trying very hard. It's the exact same overlay, except the verbiage is different and the colors. They line up the same. That's not trying too hard. Wait,
it took them a month to develop too,
that maybe they didn't try too hard with the game either.
Space Wars is actually really good on the Vectrex.
How is it to Solar Quest?
Oh, that's a good question. All right.
I played Solar Quest once. I can't remember it.
I think it's okay. I don't remember being anything spectacular.
I remember it if it was like a disaster.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
There's not a lot of disasters on the
system.
No. It's not a system of disaster games.
But sometimes they put in good effort. And I think this is an example. Now, every system seemed to have to come out with a pinball, because pinball was basically what you're coming off of in the arcade world. You were pulling people in from that kind of entertainment into a video game entertainment. So you have to have some pinball, some variant of pinball. And this is their overlay for their pinball. And I don't know if this can come out very well, given the lighting, but...
The game was called Spinball.
And the game, of course, here, all the actors fit quite nicely between
them. Put that behind it and bring it back a little bit. They don't need to see it that close. There you go.
All right. That helps.
It does. A little white behind it. It's a faint screen to start with.
And this one...
You're only going from orange to yellow, so it's fairly faint to start with.
So this one, I feel like everybody was on the right page. You know, and actually, it lines up pretty nice.
Yes.
And this one actually was really nice.
And it gave you a fairly good pinball feel.
It did. It's a good game, too.
Yeah, Spinball's brilliant. Spinball's actually a very good one.
Okay, so those who are new to the Vectrex. You know, the one thing we talked about that the Vectrex is really great at, amongst ourselves, because I don't think we did on camera, was talking about how great it is at shooting games.
All right.
And the vast majority of the games are shooting games. You know, your Mindstorm, your Yahtzee, your Bedlam,
Scramble, blah, 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 yes.
Games. They're all shooting games, right? In fact, the ability to shoot, to do shooting, is literally in its base code. You don't have to, like, program shooting.
Right.
You just call the shooting routine, you know? It's so part of the Vectrex game. Well, they have an exception to that. And, you know, every system's got to have their Mario, and they got to have their Sonic, right? So every system's got to have one of those, right? Well... They had a system, and this is just the overlay for it, but, and I may come up close because he's actually on the overlay, is Spike. And this was basically the Vectrex attempt at a platform game. It essentially was your girlfriend was up at the top. This may sound familiar.
Yeah.
You're down at the bottom.
A little bit.
Get to the girlfriend, through some ladders. Yeah,
so
sounds kind of familiar to me. So their platform Donkey Kong game is Spike, and Spike was the one that featured voice.
Yeah. If you had the voice cartridge for it, it had a piece of hardware. The voice was not built in. You had to have the external hardware to do it.
So there you go.
Yeah. All right.
So I want to bring this one up, and up in this corner is what actually Spike looked like. There's Spike. So, and there are, now when going back to the homebrew,
mm-hmm.
There's quite a few games that are Spike based.
Right.
So you get like Spike Cubert. And there's a few others too that are out there, you know. So sort of became the
mascot. Yeah, it was the mascot for the system.
Actually, not an official one.
No, not an official one.
And this is actually kind of a nice overlay with this purple and
blue. Yeah, the cityscape and everything.
It actually was kind of...
Like you said, when they put a little bit more effort into it.
Well, right. I mean, geez, you know. And it didn't take much to put some decent effort in. I mean, this one is another one quite beautiful.
You can tell from
another
the
harder one to get.
Yeah, okay, but here's the thing. Star Castle, all they did, they put some into the thing, but, yeah, that yours is beautiful. Holy shit. This is a Star Castle was, they. This is the artwork from the arcade version.
Yeah.
They just basically reproduced the artwork from the arcade version.
Fortunately,
so
the arcade version was just basically the same.
Yeah, exactly. And Star Castle at the arcade was fucking awesome.
So it's done nicely.
Oh, it's beautifully done. No, it's beautifully done. It's got some color to it. It fits the game well, which is something you talked about.
Yes. I mean, it amplifies the game.
Yeah.
You actually feel better about it.
Well, of course, because Star Castle has the rings that you're going through, the different layers, and this defines the layers better.
Yeah, so that's an
And it's hard as hell.
Yeah, Star Castle is hard as hell. That game was so freaking aggravating.
Basically, I mean, when I was looking for you know, if I was looking for an overlay, if I was purchasing a game, I would
I got a fake one on.
Nice.
I just completely realized something about this one.
What? No, you gotta say it. All right, well, it's got a crack. It's got a it's got a crack.
Oh no.
Oh no. No, I've got a couple games like covers like that. So here's the thing, and that's what happens to the
he just hit it.
That's what happens to the original ones. The plastic was fairly thick and stiff, and it does tend to crack as it gets older, which is a real issue. That's why there's a certain advantage to some of the knockoffs. They were made out of much more flexible plastic.
Don't look at it, Larry.
Just don't look at it. It's going to kill him. It's going to kill him.
This one has, it was kind of the, almost like the Star Wars trench scene theme, where the Batrax kind of goes here and you're flying through a trench. And this actually amplifies the trench. So it does a nice job of doing that, of actually fitting it. It's kind of interesting art to actually look at, which is kind of nice about some of these that are actually interesting to look at. You know, obviously the Yars one, Yars, he gets really good at that. But
it's original Space Invaders.
Exactly. They just stole the original Space Invader art and put Yassi on it. Not very difficult to make it interesting.
Everybody remembers that.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Okay, so, you know, I want to, before we get to our favorite games, I want to touch on a few more things about the hardware-wise.
Go ahead.
So, we talked already about the 3D imager. So it was the first one with the 3D imaging. And again, all it was doing was spinning a disc in front of your eyes. So when certain vectors appear, certain colors would appear. When certain levels would appear, it would turn on or off an eye. But it was doing it by a synchronized spinning disc.
Very fast.
Oh my God, fast. So it was the first 3D imager for a home video game. But not necessarily the most practical one. That being said, if you ever get a chance, we take these out to shows, try it. The effect is pretty bleeding amazing. The fact you can look at a screen that is non-color and all of a sudden you're seeing it in three-dimensional color is pretty amazing.
We do make you sign a waiver, however.
Yeah, we do, because if you lose the tip of your nose on this, it's not our fault, okay? So, but that was one thing. The other thing that they had for this, which was really, really cool, was a light pen, okay? So, again, first home video game that had a light pen. You could actually
touch me with your light pen. Sorry,
that's a weird Commodore 64 game. Okay, weirdest Commodore 64 game ever. We will someday review that game on air. We really should. But so the Vectrex actually had a light pen, and there was several things you could do with a light pen. One was you could do art. You could actually draw on the screen. It had some animation programs. It had some pretty cool stuff actually. And then the other thing it had for it was a melody maker, a music program, and you could chart the music on the screen with a light pen. So this is actually a fairly desirable collectible for your Vectrex. So if you're a hardware collector like I am, this is one of the things you want to get for your Vectrex. What's that? Okay, so here's the thing. It basically looks like a felt tip marker with a cord stuck on it. But it's a cool concept. You can build your own, by the way. There are plans all over the internet for building your own Vectrex light pen. So if you want to, you can. Not an issue. Now, Larry's got
a beer
in front of it here, but I want to show you something that we at Guys Games and Beer, because we're kind of strange and have built a bunch of stuff in the past. Because, let's see, wait a minute. How many Vectrexes do we own amongst our group, gentlemen?
I got rid of my second one.
You did, so you're down to one.
You got it.
I do. I might have your second one. So, how many are you down to now?
I'm down to one.
Okay.
I got one.
All right, you got one. Jimmy has one. That's we're up to three, and I have three.
Yeah,
you're
up
to six.
Okay, so
he takes everybody's old Vectrexes.
Yeah, I do. So, but in our group alone, we own six Vectrexes. Now, the reason I have two extras is because there's four of us that have it, and I figure we've got spares. Okay, because the Vectrex is what's going to fail.
You know what's impressive, really, is that we've only started collecting in like the last year and 6 months.
About that, yeah.
We are
a sick group. So because the Vectrex is really cool and has a great controller, but the problem with the controller is they fail all the time. They are notorious for failures. So we kind of took it to the next level. And we designed and built our own Vectrex controllers. So this has been we basically took the Vectrex, scaled it up immensely, and put in arcade buttons and joysticks. this thing is an absolute piece of brilliance. You can beat the crap out of it. So, again, we take our Vectrexes out to shows, and we let people actually play them.
The original controllers are expensive. They're like $100 on eBay. So, if you're going to show it off, which we, at Guys Games and Beer, we believe that games are meant to be played. They're not meant to be, like, shoved on a shelf and left behind. We want to play them. But, obviously, you don't want to break $100.
They're also meant to be shared.
And loved.
Yes, thank you.
And loved. But
I'm going to remind you again, October 31st.
But again, the idea is you don't want to wreck a $100 controller. They're pretty easy to break.
Yeah.
They're not the most durable thing. So this beast is a few resistors.
Yeah, and some arcade buttons.
Super expensive.
No. I mean, we built these fairly cheap, and these things you could beat the crap out of. So eventually, someday, we may actually start selling this. So kind of keep your eyes on the Guys Games and Beer website, because you might find one day we're actually making a branded version of our Vectrex controller.
I have a G2B logo on.
I need to put a G2B logo on mine.
$10,000 on eBay right now.
Yeah, because this will be the controller that you cannot break, and you can beat the crap out of, and works flawlessly. So that's something we've done. Again, we're working.
Actually, you know what's funny is, as much as it was interesting that the controller is analog and works in some ways, there are games that actually work better because these are not analog.
Yeah, then we've just put resistors to fake the analog.
Yeah,
yes.
You're just boom. You're
yeah,
right
yeah, and you're
boom.
And you're there. Yeah.
Right. And so since these are not, some games actually work a little better.
Yeah.
With the digital.
Yeah, as a four-way controller versus that.
Super
yeah.
Digital.
Yeah. Again, lots of new cartridges available. We did not get a chance to talk about this particular one. This is a programmable.
Why are we done?
No, we're going to talk about game. We're going to talk about the games you like the best. I just want to hit the hardware a little bit more. So this particular little beauty. How many places are on this? I forget now. Holy crap!
I can now you remember. I know it filled mine.
How many places? How many different cartridges can you put on this one?
16.
Dude, so you can program up to 16 separate cartridges on here, and so to select them, they've got a little micro.
Well, that's not 100% true.
No, depending
because
on the size.
Games, not every Vectrex game was had a certain size to it. There
2K?
32-bit or 32K.
K.
Or 16K.
Right.
And so you can put 16.
32K.
16K.
Oh, 16, okay.
And you can put 8, 32 on it.
Right.
But you cannot mix them.
No, you have to have all one or all the other. Yeah.
One or the other.
So here's the cool thing, though. You actually have a little, like, selector. I mean, it's a multi-switch, and you literally click it from position to position to select the game you want to play. Now, this one actually hooks up to your PC via a special interface and looks basically like an SD card or something like that, and you can drop games to it.
But only one SD card at a time.
Yeah, I know. It treats each slot as its separate SD card. So you have to pick the slot you want, connect it to the computer. Hey, but it works, okay?
There's probably some old technology related to
it. Well, yeah, I mean, you're doing some weird addressing, I'm sure, to get it to work. Yeah. But a very cool cartridge. So, again, there's a whole bunch of websites.
Here's a warning. Not every Vectrex plays with multi-cards. There are some times when you run into issues with multi-cards that you might get some weird errors. You might get your Vectrex that shuts down, but it plays Mindstorm fine.
Right.
But as soon as you put in the multi-cards, you play for 10 minutes and it shuts down.
That could be a bus issue. Right.
Yeah,
we have.
It'll do it with Mindstorm, the built-in Mindstorm anyway. So what the hell?
Yeah. So.
Which is, you know, one of the best games for.
Okay. That's a good segue. We are going to talk about what our favorite Vectrex game is. All right, Larry.
We had a hard time. With
yeah,
this
we
too,
did.
Larry.
So
yeah,
Larry, you got to go because
suddenly I'm not going to have a hard time.
No, me and Rob had a really hard time. This is a really tough one. There are so many good games. So few games for it, but so many good games. Yeah. Oh, God, yes, there are.
The problem is that they're solid back. Games for it.
Yeah.
There are solid games to it, but there are some clunkers.
Dude, you set the low-end standard with Blitz, all right? So.
All right, fine. So now we're already up to two. Of the 31.
No. You told me that Blitz, in its two-player mode, was just fine.
It is just fine. You can play competitively and enjoy it, so there's no problem with that.
Okay, so
I mean, that's what I'm saying, though,
is that there are some clunkers out there. Even what rectum.
God damn it, we're talking about good games, though.
Yes.
Not about your rectum.
I want to know what your favorite game is.
Not about your rectum, Larry.
Well, I want to talk about how they spent way too much money for the Star Trek franchise.
Oh. Yeah, they did. That didn't help.
It was their E.T.
That did not help Milton Bradley.
It was not their... E.T. Star Trek was great in the arcades. Even the Atari 2600 had a good port. This port's not that good.
It's not the best port. And that was...
When it could have done it perfectly.
I'm pretty sure Milton Bradley was the one who bought that port.
And actually, I think the arcade was a Vectrex in the first place.
Was a Vector game. Yes, it was.
Yeah,
it was. And it was great.
So why did you just port it?
There's issues with that. But
there probably was a licensing issue.
Right. But anyways, okay, so favorite game. You know, it's kind of tough. Let's go with this. I think I can do this. That Mindstorm is my favorite original game.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really fun. You can get into it in a few minutes. You can play for 10-15 minutes. You've had a good time, and you can move along with your day. You can just every day you can just hit it, and it's all right. Like that's cool, and it randomizes enough, and that's fine. You know, and I think that is a great game. You know, I mean, there's a couple others that are nice. You know, like Queen Sweep, and that are pretty decent, but they're not the same level. I think the game they packaged was like the best of the originals. Now,
Dead Sexy.
So Mindstorms is basically an asteroid clone.
Yeah, I mean, it is basically an asteroid clone,
but a really good one.
But you know what's funny is I don't even like asteroids. I only like Mindstorm.
It's a better game.
It is better than the original asteroids.
So I mean they did asteroids better than asteroids.
Yeah, they did.
And then I come into the aftermarket. And there are two games for that are of course the Yahzee is just awesome.
Yeah,
it's good. It is just awesome.
It is a perfect space
invader. It is a perfect space invader. And in fact, the cartridge, if you buy from the original manufacturer, if you can find one of those, had, and very few Vectrex games did this, would hold your high score. And that's pretty cool, you know, that it would hold your high score. But that being said, Vec Frogger is awesome. It is almost a perfect version of Frogger, and that's one I totally would recommend. Now, to Tom.
All right, so
damn you.
Here's the thing. We had this discussion.
Yeah,
so
we did.
Typically, we shot our load before the show started.
And it's our move.
Originally, I was really thinking Scramble, and then Rob and me got into the discussion, and oh my God, it's got to be Ripoff. Really is.
Two-player is great, remember? Oh,
yes!
We've had good times playing this two-player.
Wait, how does it a two-player effect? I've only ever played it as one player.
You basically have two ships.
Right, you're both protecting it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, that's awesome.
So
it's fun.
The overlay, again, this one where the overlay enhances the game nicely because it gives you the zones. The gameplay is spectacular. This was an arcade game.
The overlay does work well.
Yeah. It's a port of an arcade game, and it's a really good port of it. The action's good. That the sound, that da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, as they start to get down to your last bits of stuff.
And when you get right here, you know you're screwed.
Exactly. Because there is no way your boat's going to reach
it. Let it go.
Before it gets off the screen.
Let it go.
The game really plays well. It's challenging, it speeds up, the audio is good, the overlay is good. This was a good overall effort by the team. This was one of the original games for it, and it really plays extremely well. All right, that's fine.
It's awesome.